Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
To Matthew chapter 21, verse 16. I want to talk to you about perfect praise. Perfect praise. And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, Thou hast perfected praise. I want to talk to you about perfect praise for just a very few moments today. You may be seated. Perfect praise is not defined by quantity, but rather by quality. We talk about it being perfect. It's not about how long. You know, that's true of prayer, too. Sometimes say, well, I need to pray an hour. It's not how long you pray. The Bible didn't talk about that. It said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And so the quality in the mind of God was more important than the quantity of it. And the same thing is true with God when you talk about praise and worship. We are a church of praisers. There's scarcely few people in this building today that don't know how to worship God and don't know how to praise. You're praisers. And you understand the impact of praise. The three most important things in your life are not even your job and your political views and your financial accomplishments. Number one is your obedience to God. Number two is your faith toward God. And number three is your worship of your God. Those are the three most important things in your life because they have eternal value. One of the great senators died yesterday, and he'd served in the Senate, the seventh longest serving, a Democrat from one of the Carolinas, and he had tremendous accomplishments, and I was watching them talk about his accomplishments. They were great, but really none of that matters now. It doesn't matter now. The only thing that matters was his obedience to God, his faith toward God, and his worship of his God. And those are the three most important things in our life. And so perfect praise is something that we should aspire to, that we perfect our praise. We get better and better at our jobs. They're on the property that we own. I told you about, they're putting that pipeline across there, and they've got these big pipes they're burying, and they have to weld each pipe. I don't know, they're like 40 feet long or something, but they have to weld each one. And it's amazing how quickly those guys can weld that. And it has to be a perfect weld so that pipeline does not leak. But they can do it so quickly because they have such expertise, and they have expertise because they have experience. Expertise always comes because of knowledge and experience. And so we should be people of great expertise in praise because we know what the Word of God says about it. And because we have tremendous experience in exercising our praise. Worship and praise are defined so definitively in the Word of God, the way they affect God, that God inhabits our praise. He instructs us in so many levels of praise and how we are to praise Him. And so praise is a vital, vital element of our relationship with God. And so when you walk into a church and that church has no worship or no praise, and they listen quietly to the teaching and they acknowledge the tenets of faith, that's a wonderful thing. But you have to realize that church is not pleasing God if it's void of praise and worship. And so is your life. If your life is without question as far as being moral and being what your role is as a husband or a wife or whatever you do, but it is without praise to God, it's not pleasing to the Lord. David says, seven times a day will I praise God. This was a man after God's own heart. And so you should develop expertise in praising God. In his sanctuary, the 149th Psalm says, praise God, but also in the firmament of his power. Out there in your home and your automobile and wherever you go about your daily life, you should be a praiser, because praiser is a real quality that God desires. And we should be praisers of Him, and we should acknowledge in Him all that we do, acknowledge Him in all that is. When we look at the firmament, we look at the heavens, we look at the earth, we look at everything about us, we ought to acknowledge God in that. And so we ought to be praisers. And so if that's the case, we ought to want to be good praisers, wonderful worshipers, people that develop expertise and perfection in our praise, because perfect praise will produce powerful results in our life. If God inhabits the praise of His people, perfect praise brings about supernatural intervention in our lives, things that we can't do on our own. So many times in my life when I was at the end of the rope, at the end of my wits, I had no more ideas. I just had to resort to praise. And as I would just stop what I was trying to do and just begin to praise God, I could see God almost immediately in the very near time that I could see God becoming involved, and I could see things begin to change. And I would recognize that would not have happened if God had not extended His hand into my life. And so praise has a tremendous importance in our lives. And so we need to work on perfecting our praise. So it's defined not by quantity, but by quality. And quality of praise is defined by timing. It does matter when you praise God. Pre-miracle praise, pre-miracle, before it happens, before God intervenes. Pre-miracle praise is much more potent than post-miracle praise, post being after it's happened. Well, I'm going to praise God. Look what the Lord has done. That's not really praise. That's more thanksgiving than it is praise. But pre-miracle praise requires that it be spawned and produced by faith. What you know about God and what you believe about God and how you know that God cares about you. You know, God is concerned that you know that He cares for you. God cares about you. One of the greatest tricks of the adversary is to convince you that God cares about everybody else but you, but He doesn't care about you. And so the devil will bring up events in your life and say, well, you know, look, if that happened, that means God didn't care about you. But that's not true. I was listening to Brother Copeland. I did not know this till yesterday. But one of his daughters, when she was about 13 or 14 years of age, was rushed to the hospital unconscious. The doctors told Brother Copeland she would not survive the night. She had such a something like spinal meningitis, and it was so bad. But prayer was made. Today, she and her husband live in California and are very successful. There is no evidence of that disease, but they said, it was just several years ago that Pastor Hagee, I personally talked to him, and his church called here and called across the nation because one of his children was diagnosed with cancer. But praise God, we forget about these things. But prayer was made. It was just a few days until I got that call from Cornerstone, and they said, praise God. The doctors have said there is a total miracle, and the cancer is gone. Many years ago, Dodie Osteen was given just a few days to live, and her and Brother Osteen went in and began to pray. And when they came out of that bedroom, she was totally healed. And here she is, 80-some years of age, and still living today. We forget about what God has done, but we've got to learn to praise God even before there is a manifestation. And we have to praise Him because we know that God loves us, and the devil is a liar. He's an absolute liar when he tells you that God doesn't care about you. But friend, if you know how much God loves you, you shouldn't wait for the thing to manifest. Just develop a life of praise. No matter what's going on, I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to glorify God, and I'm going to magnify God, even though it has not yet manifested in the Lord. Jerry Seville is one of my favorite preachers. Jerry's never been here. Great, great preacher. He preached a message years ago that literally affected my life. Just one message. It's amazing when you hear a message, and it was 30 or 5 years ago probably, and I never forgot it. If the devil can't steal your joy, the devil can't take your goods. And when I heard that, it changed my life. I'd never thought of it in that realm before. And so a few months ago, or about a year or so ago now, Jerry went in for just a treatment on him to clean out his arteries. And something happened. And he went to his brain. And they told him as he lay there unconscious, they told his wife, he'll be a vegetable the rest of his life. He'll never speak again. He'll never know you again. He'll never leave this hospital under his own power. He'll be carried out of here. You'll take him home, and he'll just lay there, and then he'll eventually die. Jerry told his story yesterday. It's an amazing story of how they just said there was no hope at all. And he said he couldn't develop a thought. He had no thought process. And said he finally developed the ability to say one word, and that was yes. That was all he could say was yes. No matter what they said. He said the doctor brought a child's coloring book and he'd point at a cat. And he'd look at the cat and say yes. Point at a dog, he'd say yes. Everything was yes. And Brother Jerry has a collection of antique cars. He has antique Corvettes. And so he said, my son-in-law, he's quite a character, said he came in and sat down on my bedside, and I was almost comatose, but I could say yes. And so he said, my son-in-law said, Brother Jerry, said, you're not going to be needing that Corvette anymore. You'll never drive it anymore. He said, would it be all right if I took it over to my house and drove it just to keep it running? And I said, no. He said it was the first time in months I'd said anything but yes. And he said my son-in-law threw up his hands and said to my wife, said he's on the way to being healed now. He's going to be all right. And so they got him home, and they thought he was just going to be in a vegetative state. And he said, my daughter was helping me. And he said, I had her to, and he couldn't use it. He's left-handed, but he couldn't use his right hand. And he couldn't hardly walk with it, and he got him up, and they got him out to his shop where his antique cars were, and he has antique motorcycles. And he said he stood there, and he said, I just developed a thought process. And he said, there's about 20 vehicles in that building. And he said, I thought, I'm going to start every one of these. I'm going to start every one of these. And he said, it's hard to start a motorcycle with a kickstart when you're paralyzed. But he said, I got over that. And he said, it didn't have electric started. And he said, I stood there. And my mind began, God is my strength. God is my healer. God is my healer. And he said, do you believe I kick-started that thing and got it running? And I went to the other. He said, I got all 20 of those vehicles running. And they run a while. Then I turned them all off. And he said, I got to the door. And he said, I couldn't use my right hand at all. But he said, my daughter had the key. And I said, key, give me the key. And said she extended. He said, I reached out with that right hand I couldn't use, and I got that key, and I put it in that door, and I turned that lock. And he said, I walked from that shop to my house, and the doctor said I was going to be a vegetable. But he said, by the time I got to my house, all of my faculties were working. And he said, praise God, within 10 days, I was on a plane headed to California to preach again. And now Jerry is 100% cured. Friend, I'm telling you, we have an amazing God, an omnipotent God, an omniscient God. But the devil wants you to believe that he's not concerned about you. But understand that if you can perfect your praise, that every situation can be turned around. But don't wait post-miracle to however it's happened. Start getting pre-miracle praise. I'm going to praise God before it happens. I'm going to praise God before my marriage is fixed. I'm going to praise God before my children are saved. I'm going to praise God before the money is in bank. I'm going to praise God before the doctors give me a good report, because I know my God is able. There are people in this building right now that have genuine needs in your life. Some of you got children that are astray, and you say, man, they're just acting up terrible. But I want to speak prophetically. They're going to be saved in Jesus' name. But what you need to do right now is you need to begin to praise God and act like they were already saved. Get that picture in your mind of them living for God and loving God and worshiping God. The quality of your praise is decided by the timing of your praise. Can you praise God when everything is bleak and everything is dark and everything is negative? Can you say, I know my God lives, and I know my God's going to turn this around, and I know that bad news is not going to last forever, and I know that God is going to use the devil's weapons to bring a victory in my life in Jesus' name? The proof of your praise is defined by the content of your faith, which is defined by timing. It takes faith to praise God when things are negative, when things are going bad. But to praise after the manifestation is, in fact, just thanksgiving. But God wants you to begin to praise God before it ever manifests. Friend, he just wants you to be a praiser that perfects praise. And say, I'm not going to let the weather affect me sowing seed. I'm not going to let the circumstance affect my countenance. I'm not going to let people's conversation. There's always people going to come around and say the wrong thing. You've got to be able to edit the conversation that comes to your ears. And you've got to be able to just not have to tell them when they say, oh, that's just foolishness. You've got to be able to say that in your mind. That's not what God's word says. I'm going to stand on the word of God. God is going to save my child. God is going to heal my body. God is going to give me that job. It is going to come to pass. You read in the book of 2 Chronicles, I've always loved this story in chapter 20. And it's about how they were surrounded by the Ammonites and the Moabites, and they were totally outnumbered. And Jehoshaphat did not know what to do. He didn't know how to fight militarily. He knew they were outnumbered dramatically, so he didn't know what to do. So the Bible said he began to pray to the Lord, and the Lord told him what to do. You can't outmaneuver this world. You can't outthink the devil. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can allow God to fight your battle and have victory every time. And so the Lord said, here's what I want you to do. He said, you are not going to be able to defeat them on your own. But he said, I want you to send out the praisers first. I want you to send out the singers first. Now you have to realize that the situation could not have looked worse. They could have not been more outnumbered when God told him that. But Jehoshaphat did exactly what God told him to do. And I like what the Bible said. It said, and the Lord set ambushments against them. Oh, I like it when God ambushes the devil in my behalf. So many things that look negative, God has turned around for my good. And friend, I want to perfect my praise. I'll tell you what, I'm 69 years of age, and you can't believe that I'm working on myself more today than I did when I was 39 or 49. I see more places to improve myself and my attitude and to work on my faith and to be more like God. And every day I'm trying to accept things better. You know, Pastor Brandon's not here. I'll just tell it. I wouldn't tell if he's here. And he's not watching this on video because he's preaching right now. So he'll never hear this, and Mandy won't tell him. But he took three of my mares to the vet the other day to have them tested. We had sold them. They had to have vet checks and all of that. And so he was driving my truck and my trailer. That's a $90,000 truck. That's a $30,000 trailer. That's a $120,000 rig right there. And so he came back, and I was there. And he said, I got to go on. I said, I'll just ride with you. I'll just ride with you. And it's just like a quarter of a mile back in the pasture. And so we went to the pasture to unload these. And he said, instead of turning around here, I'm going to pull out in the pasture and unload these. And so he pulled in the pasture. And what did I hit? And we got out on that $90,000 truck. And he hit a stump about that high. And it just horseshoed that bumper, and he was just devastated. He said, I've never wrecked one of your trucks before. He said, I'll pay for it. I said, number one, it's not a big deal. And number two, I'm not going to let you pay for it. It's going to cost me $1,400, Leslie. $1,400. No, I don't have no insurance. I got a $1,000 deductible. If I turn it in, they go up, so I'm going to have to pay it out of my pocket. This insurance is great unless you need it. But I can remember a time when that would have been a big deal. But I've just disciplined myself. That's not important. God's going to take care of it. I don't know where that $1,400 is coming from, but I know God's got it. Do you think that I would let that injure my relationship? I just reached out and took a hold of his hand, said, it's not a big deal. I said, you're a great son. Don't even worry about this. And I could tell he was still, and I was doing my best to tell him, it doesn't matter. And I'm trying to live my life to where I can be kinder to people, everybody around me, strangers, people I don't even know, in restaurants, to wait staff, to people, you know, and people are rude going through a door. Just step back. Hold the door for a rude person. It's going to change your life. All of this needs to be pre. Well, I'm gonna be nice to them if they're gonna be nice to me. There's no reward in that. But if you'll be nice to ugly people, God will bless you. He will cause your cup to overflow. And you say, well, I'm gonna go to church, but I'm telling you what, things hadn't been going away, and I'm gonna spite God. I'm just gonna sit there and stare at the worship leaders while they're worshiping. It's not gonna work. Praise God. You gotta get to that place where say, I got perfect praise. A torn up truck can't take away my praise. Somebody being rude to me can't stop my praise. My boss can't affect my praise. Situations can't affect my praise. Politics can't affect my praise. This one thing is, I know that God cares about me. I know that I am the apple of His eye. I know that I am in the hollow of His hand. I know the Lord is on my side. I know that it starts out bad when the devil gets involved, but before it consummates, the Lord turns it to good. It's going to be reversed. It's going to be all right if I can just keep my joy, if I can perfect my praise. You know the reason why Jesus said, well, He said praise is going to be perfected in the mouths of babes and sucklings. Do you ever wonder why He said that? I'll tell you why. I just realized this week. Because babes and sucklings don't have any past. They don't have much to praise God for. Everything's in their future. So He said they're praising for things that hadn't even happened yet. Friend, you ought to be praising God like a mad woman today for things that hadn't even happened. You ought to be praising God like a madman today for things that hadn't even happened. Because while you're sitting here in this building, there is a God that knows you by name, and He's out there designing things for you and fixing things for you and lining things up. And if you can perfect your praise, you're going to walk into blessing on Monday you hadn't even thought about. On Tuesday, you're going to receive things that you haven't even dreamed about. You're just going to see them come out. I like those blessings that come out of nowhere, because when they come out of nowhere, I know where they came from. They came straight from the hand of God, straight from the heaven that God lives in. And praise God, I'm working on my praise. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful release when you realize that everything in your life is in your control. What do you mean by that? It's not that you can control the events, but you can control what God's told you to do. And when you do that, God will send the ambushments against the enemy. God will limit those things the devil can do. God will reform and change and restore and move things in your behalf. And when you realize that this is a terrible situation and I can't go to the bank and punch the banker in the nose, I can't get that lawyer, I can't go to the courts and make them rule, but I'll tell you what I can do. I can perfect my praise. And if I perfect my praise, God will come down, get involved in my situation. He can talk to that judge while he's asleep at night, put something in his brain. He can talk to that banker. He can talk to my boss. He can cause a promotion to come that other people don't see me getting, because God is able. He rules in the affairs of men. And so, praise God, I'm working on myself. Some of you are still youngsters. Some of you only 40 years of age. You're just babies. I'm 69 years of age, folks. Somebody said, you think about retiring. You don't ever retire from praising. You don't ever retire from worship. You don't ever retire from loving God. You don't ever retire from loving people and helping people. I'm working on myself more because I see the potential that's out there, that I will perfect my praise, that God can do more in 6 months of my life than I've done with 69 years. And so I'm going to praise God better. I'm going to worship God better. What's that mean? Does it mean more? Not necessarily more. It means better. That means when things go wrong, instead of just coming apart, I'm going to say, praise God, this is an opportunity to praise the Lord. This is a wonderful venue to give God the praise, and it will have such a quality to it, because in praising God, when you get bad news, that is a quality praise. When something bad happens, you say, well, praise God, let's see how the Lord's going to turn this out. See how the Lord's going to deliver me out of this. See how the Lord's going to bring this to pass. See how the Lord's going to snatch this victory out of defeat. That's quality praise.
Friend, we don't have an excuse not to praise God in every circumstance and every situation if we know who God is and what God is capable of. He is a good God, and He's capable of miracle after miracle in our life. Stand on your feet right now and lift your hand and give God some praise. I'm going to suggest to somebody in this building right now that in the last 7 days, something tragic has happened in your life. It's just been bad. It's been negative. It's just something that almost devastated you. It was just made you miserable when that happened. I'm going to suggest to you right now that if you would begin to say, wait just a minute, I'm going to perfect my praise. This is a time to praise God. I'm going to give forth a perfect praise, because the devil thinks that I'm going to quit. I'm going to stop. At the least, I'm going to quit praising God. But I'm going to show the devil that I'm going to turn up my praise, and I'm going to give God praise in my life, because I know who He is, and I know that God's going to turn it around. I'm going to suggest to somebody in this building that that thing that has been so devastating for this time Sunday, next Sunday, is going to be turned around. There's going to be a miracle happen in your life this week. If you're that person, I don't want everybody just coming up here and standing, but I want somebody in this building today that understands what I'm saying. Just come up here and just begin to praise God. Like, instead of something bad happening in your life, I want you to praise God like the greatest thing that ever happened in your life happened this week. Just begin to perfect your praise right now and see what God will do in the next week before we gather again next Sunday. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you, this is something that I've been working on in my life in the last few years. And I don't have it perfect, but praise God, I've done it enough to see that it works in my life. If I don't come apart, if I don't just go to Sister Becky and say, oh, this is the worst thing that possibly happened, praise God. Becky, she's such a wonderful person, such a wonderful Christian. She just does not tolerate you bringing that kind of garbage to her. You know, the worst friend you can have is someone that sympathizes in your failure. You need somebody just to tell you, suck it up. Hey, Cupcake, get ready. This is life, but God's on your side. And so if I don't just fall apart and say, Becky, this is the worst thing that ever happened. Oh, this is tragic. We'll never recover. But if I just say, well, praise God. I don't know why that happened, except the devil wanted it to happen. But I don't know why it was allowed to happen. But I do know this, that God is God. And He's not only God, He's my God. And my God is able, and He's going to turn around. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to give God praise like it was good instead of bad. I'm going to praise God instead of like it was life instead of death. I'm going to praise God like it was a good report instead of a bad report. I'm going to praise God like the doctor said there's no problem in your body. Instead of acting like he gave you a negative report, I am going to perfect my praise. And there's somebody else in this building. I'm getting ready to lay hands on these people, and I'm agreeing with them right now that their praise is going to be perfected, and God's going to turn around this thing that's been negative this week in their life. But there's some other people that need to come down this aisle and say, praise God, this is going to be difficult for me, but I'm going to praise God. I don't care what the devil's done. I don't care how bad it's been. I don't care what the report was. I'm going to give God some praise today. Are you ready? All over this building, would you begin to praise God in the name of Jesus? I just like the way you're looking at me, sister. You know what you got on your face?